Let's bow and open our morning with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with open hearts to hear what you have to tell us. We ask that you bless us and that you be with the speaker this morning. We ask that you lift our hearts up in joy to you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me again. It's so good to be here. I see familiar faces. Over the last couple of years, I've gotten to know some of you briefly, but I'm so glad to be back here today. I'm going to read from Romans 8, starting at verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, then we are his heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that gives us hope that because we know you, Jesus, that we are able to be called your child. What a fantastic, amazing thing to be God's child, having all authority and all the inheritance that Christ has himself. That we can truly go to the throne room boldly because of who we are. God, I pray that you would break into us today to know truly who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have to say I love this church. Because you are a church who invites. I love that, you know. Not every church invites. You were one of the first churches to invite me to speak when I started as pastor of Church of Hope. And you continue to ask me over the last few years. In fact, I think one year I preached twice in a row. That's a bonus, man. So how exciting that you are people who invite and want to hear from others. That's a powerful thing when we want to learn from one another. And those that are living out Christ's walk in a different way, perhaps, than you are. But today I'm here to invite you to something. Are you ready? Some of you look perplexed or scared or both. But there is an invitation out there. First, I want to tell you a little bit about Church of Hope. Church of Hope is really growing inside and now outside as well. And I'm super excited about that. We have seen an increase in our church growth inside. Many Friday nights, we end up with standing room only, which is cool. We meet in what's called the visit room. It's about half the size of this room, I guess. And we can squeeze a lot of ladies in there. That service is actually at the work center where ladies go out and work and then come back in, or they do treatment all day and then they do Bible studies and stuff in the evening. The main service is growing as well. We're in the cafeteria, but we're threatening to move into the gym because it's growing so much. So God is moving inside. I always tell people that come in and speak, don't worry about bringing Jesus because he's already there. Just join what Jesus is doing, what the Spirit is already doing, because he's doing some amazing, amazing things. But because of the growth, we had to really begin to reorganize and think a little differently. Isn't that how it is sometimes when what worked before is not always what works later, right? So we have to adjust. Change is hard, though, sometimes, right? Or am I the only one that thinks that? But it's been good. It's been really good. So my job has changed. I am on the outside much more. So they're letting me out of prison a little bit. That must have been good time, good behavior. I do a lot of advocacy for the ladies in there and the work. And I come and do speaking events like this. And so I share what's happening in the prison. And so with this new position, that gives me more flexibility to do that. I also help to fill speaker positions. One of the things that we want to do is bring more people in with different testimonies, with different hearts, different visions, for the ladies to learn from and to grow from. And so, hence, I'd love to see you all bring a team. You come on a Friday night or a Sunday night. Friday nights at 7, Sunday nights at 7. And it can be music, it can be testimonies, it can be someone preaching. But one of the most powerful things about it is you learn that prison's not scary. I mean, if you're sentenced to prison, it might be scary, but you're not going to be sentenced. It's just one night. So it's not a scary place. And what you'll notice about the ladies is that they look like you and your neighbor and your friend and your granddaughter and your sister and even maybe your mother. So I organize groups to come in, and then I also do the fundraising piece. Everything takes money, so, and as we grow, that money is needed even more to support our staff and to support travel and all of that. And then I also do website development, which I'm working on a new website. It is churchofhopepierre.org. And so that should be up in the next couple weeks. And then I do all the social media as well. But one of the things that we're dreaming about is doing more outreach for ladies that are coming out of prison. What we see so often is ladies go out and they don't have any support system or resources, and then they come right back in. And so what our dream is to support ladies in key places like Sioux Falls, Pier, and Rapid. So that's the goal and the dream in the future. And then I just have a little new dream. It's not actually new, but I was listening to one of the ladies' testimonies, which I'm going to share with you some of it. The other night, sometimes the ladies do the service, and so they do testimonies and worship. They have quite a band. They have quite a worship band. But as I was listening to her testimony, I realized a piece that is so missing in our state. And I've done one-on-ones for the last 3 years. I've done hundreds and hundreds of one-on-ones, counseling sessions, trauma sessions. And over I hear how so many of the ladies had mothers in prison. And in fact, if you have a parent in prison, your chances of going to prison increase by about 70%. One of the things that we don't do in this state is help with the support of the children of women who are in prison. There are so many lost children in our state that are so vulnerable, so, so vulnerable. So God and I were dreaming the Friday night, and you're the first to hear this, so Jesus, I'm just putting it out there. But the Lord and I were talking, and I just started dreaming, like, could we do a camp or something for children who have women in prison? Well, just put that in your back pocket. Think about it. So as I read this verse today and I thought about what I was going to talk about, see if I'm skipping things. Oh, I am. Just go back a moment. We also hired a woman who's the care minister inside, and she does a lot of the one-on-ones now. She helps facilitate worship. I come in once a month and do communion. I also do baptism. Sometimes I do more than once a month, depending on our schedule. And then I also do some one-on-ones with our leadership team. But, okay, now, as I go and look at this scripture today, I was thinking about the spirit of adoption. I was thinking about the power of it. I assume that most of you know Jesus as your Savior. I make it a practice of mine to always share the gospel everywhere I speak, because you never know. Jesus went to the cross for our sins. He took on our sins, he became our sins, and he suffered a horrific death and died. So we wouldn't have to pay the penalty for our sins. And he died, but that was not the end of the story, because he resurrected. And he ascended to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for us. This beautiful gospel, where we don't have to carry our sin and our pain anymore. And sometimes we just need to hear that gospel again. Are you happy for your salvation? You know? We should be celebrating the fact that we have Jesus every day. That he, every day, when we come before him and confess our sins, he takes it away. And he covers it with his beautiful blood. And so that is the central message that I preach in prison, is the gospel. It is the saving grace of Jesus. And what's so beautiful about these ladies is they get it. Because their sin is real and blatant. Sometimes for us, our sin's a little more hidden and washed over. And so we forget to even call it sin anymore. But we need a Savior as much as they do. Our sin is no different. It just maybe has different consequences. And so we lean on that. And when we lean on the fact that Jesus saved our heart and our soul, then we enter into a place where we become children. This spirit of adoption that Paul is writing about, when the Holy Spirit, when we follow the Holy Spirit, when we say yes to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us. And so, as I say that today, I want to remind us that we are children of God. We are called to be those ones who represent Christ, those children that walk on the earth. So, I promised that I would talk about the lady's testimony that I heard. I went to service on Friday night, and it was a surprise because I wasn't planning on coming up here, but a bunch of stuff happened, and so I went. And so I showed up, and it was a surprise for the ladies. Anyway, I sat in the back, and it's a whole different perspective when a pastor's sitting in the back, right? Usually the pastor sits in front. But it's interesting to hear the conversations and to sit with the ladies in back that try not to be seen, right? But from that perspective, I saw a greater view of what God was doing among the ladies. And as this precious gal began to speak her testimony, I'll call her Kay, that's not her name, but I'll call her Kay. Kay talked about how she had a rough road from the beginning, little kid. Her dad was an alcoholic, and her mother was a drug addict. Her dad was rarely around, and her mom finally had her children taken away. She had 9 kids. Besides Kay. Kay only knew one of her siblings because the rest of them had been taken away. And eventually Kay and her sister got taken away as well. She went from foster home to foster home to foster home. Until she landed in this foster home of this family that knew Jesus and loved the Lord. And she said she never experienced that kind of love. And she learned the things like, Jesus loves me, the 10 commandments, all the core values and stories of Christianity. One day she came home from school, and she talked about how she was always afraid of coming home because she was afraid that they would tell her that she would have to leave and go to another home. Could you imagine every day being like that? And so that day she came home, and her foster mother said, "We have decided to adopt you and your sister." She said it was like the happiest day of her life. She was so excited. She was about 11 at this time. But when they told her sister said, "I don't want to be adopted." Isn't that interesting how God wants to adopt us? And yet so many will say, "No, I don't want that." It's so sad how sometimes we don't receive the love God's giving us and that spirit to be known that we are his beloved children. So that threw the whole thing for a loop. And her sister actually asked to be placed in another foster home. So, this threw Kay in a loop as well. And she didn't want to be separated from her sister. So although the adoption went through, she decided months later to rescind her adoption, which I'm sure was so heartbreaking for this mother. But we think about that. Why would you rescind adoption? You know, so many of us have known Jesus for years and years, and yet we go through times where we lose trust in God or something happens and we think, where's God? Why is he doing this? Or whatever the case may be, and we back away and we question our own belief system. Oftentimes we'll fall into sin. We all have sin patterns. Some are prettier than others. And the moment we fall back into those patterns, we tend to run away from God instead of running to God as our Savior and our friend and our Abba God. So she ran away eventually, and at 15 she ended up pregnant and on drugs. And she knew she couldn't take care of this baby, so she gave this little boy up for adoption, which is pretty courageous, actually. By 18, she was addicted to opioids, and she had actually turned to heroin to feed her addiction because she could no longer afford opioids. In the midst of that, she ended up committing a burglary. Well, I can't say that word. Robbery. There we go. And she ended up in prison in Wisconsin. And she did drugs in prison. There's drugs in prison. There's drugs in prison in South Dakota as well. If you want to find it, it is there. I don't know how they do it. They're so smart. In not good ways sometimes. But anyway, she did her sentence and then she left. And she ended up prostituting. I don't know if many of you know, but I used to work with human trafficking victims for years. And I'm still on the board of Nightlight Ministries. That's an American Baptist ministry in Thailand. So I still do a lot of work in that area. And she thought it was great because she was making a lot of money, could do her drugs, buy people things for love. But then there came a time when she did a trick, and the trick was on her. She was brutally beaten and raped. At her bottom. One of the things that stuck out to me that she said was, in the foster care system, they only like puppies, little kids. The older you grow, the less they like you. It's easy to forget the ladies in prison because they're behind bars. They're behind and hidden. And yet God hasn't forgotten. Today is Ascension Sunday. I want to read from Acts 1. This is the writer of Acts, right? Writing this. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he has chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while I was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, when you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will baptize with the Holy Spirit." Then he gathered all around them and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or date the Father has set on his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. A cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before him, for them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go to heaven. You will receive the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. You will be not just the past, you will be his witnesses. You will be his witnesses on this Ascension Sunday. We are his children and we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses of his goodness. We are his witnesses of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are his witnesses of hope. We are his witnesses of justice. One of the things that Kay said that stuck into my heart was that every day look for the miracle. That's what she told herself over and over. Where's the miracle today? Isn't that amazing? How many of us say that? Here the disciples are gathered around Jesus and they thought, okay, we thought he was going to be this conqueror, took over the Roman government and freed us. Instead, he went to the cross, he resurrected. Okay, let's get it done now. But Jesus had another plan. It wasn't him that was going to do it. It was them. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were going to be the witnesses. See, Jesus had taught them at his hand. They had followed him all over. They witnessed his works, his powers, his love, his majesty, his everything, his miracles. See, he didn't leave them without training. I know many of you have sat under Bible studies and preaching for years. But it's not only the teaching we must have, it is the witnessing. There is a harvest out there. See, we are children of God. We are inheriting something as Christ is. What is he inheriting? He's inheriting the gospel. He's inheriting the harvest. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few." The harvest is big. What are we going to do with what God has given us? The teaching, the mercy, the love. Are we going to be a witness? Every day, God has this miracle for us. But the problem is, most of us are not even looking. There's someone somewhere in your life every day that needs the miracle of the gospel. And so here is Kay. She is not, I mean, she swore I don't know how many times in the middle of her testimony, even the big F word. She apologized. But it was raw. It was alive. It was living. Because Christ in her, the hope of glory. The power, how are we to overcome the enemy? The word of her testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the willingness to give up our own lives. That's how we overcome the enemy of our hearts. And so she's a work in progress, as we all are. And some things God has redeemed, and some others He's still working on, just like us. But it was one of the most beautiful testimonies I've ever heard, because it was real. It's God working in us. It is her working out, as Paul says, her salvation. Messy as it is. And yet, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, to be a witness so others can be a witness, so others can be a witness, so others can be a witness. Let us not forget the harvest. I like how the angels said, "What are you doing looking up? Don't you know you have a job to do?" We can look up and worship, Bible study, preaching, all those things, our private ministry time, which we absolutely need to do. But there comes a time where we have to take those things and witness the gospel of Jesus. So my invitation is, will you come? Will you bring a group? It's not very hard. I'll lead you through it. Will you continue to, I know you've blessed us financially, will you continue to do that? And some of you are able to maybe do that individually. We have a website you can donate to. It's a powerful ministry. So thank you for the invitation today. Thank you for hearing my heart. Thank you for hearing Kay's heart. There are a lot of Kays out there. And we don't only affect Kay, but we affect her family. We affect her children. We affect her community. You know, she has a passion now to reach women caught in prostitution. Isn't that exciting? And she has the ability to walk with them because she gets it. She understands. I have some brochures if anyone's interested. Afterwards, come talk to me. Let me pray for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your beautiful, beautiful Son. Help us, God, to be your witnesses of that beauty. In Isaiah 61, you said, you have come to bring good news to the poor and the brokenhearted and those who are in captivity. God, there's so many that are in captivity. May we be willing to bring them freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You are dismissed.